Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
Dolphins fans, how are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this Friday, January the 11th. Happy Friday, everyone. The weekend is almost here, and we got a great show for you today. Myself and Tom Ernesty, we sort of break down and talk about the fallout of the Adam Gase hire, the New York Jets hiring Adam Gase, and now that's about 48 hours old or so, all depending on when you're listening to this, of course, and we sort of talk about the fallout and talk about some of the pitfalls he's going to have with the Jets and the effect this will have on the Dolphins moving forward, and we also talk about the Miami Dolphins head coaching search, and it appears it's down to Chris Richard and Brian Flores. There are multiple reports out. Some people say the job, Flores is in the lead. Some reports are out there saying Chris Richard's in the lead. Nobody knows, and we'll probably have a clearer picture after this weekend's game, because you would think one of these guys will probably get knocked out, maybe both, but who knows. So myself and Tom talk about that, as well as Adam Gase, and just, the Miami Dolphins future, in like 2019, 2020, tanking games or trying to, blow it up and start over, and we sort of talk about that and what to expect here in 2019. So what I'm going to do right now is take a quick break. And after the break, I'll be joined by Tom Ernesty as we talk about all the things I just mentioned. So sit tight, and we'll be back after this.
DolphinsTalk.com is your one website for all things Miami Dolphins. With the award-winning DolphinsTalk.com podcast, in-depth video breakdowns and analysis, as well as daily articles all year round, DolphinsTalk.com is the place to go for all of your Miami Dolphins needs. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at DolphinsTalk and to visit our website, DolphinsTalk.com, each and every day.
Welcome to DolphinsTalk.com Daily. This is Tom Ernesty. I have Mike Oliva with me. We're going to be talking coaches, and particularly one that is no longer here in Miami, but we will also dive into a little bit of the Dolphins coaching search. As we get into the weekend, Darren Rizzi is scheduled to interview for the job, supposedly today on Friday. So we'll take a look and see how the search is going. But Mike, how are you doing today?
I am doing fantastic. Tom, how are you?
I'm living pretty good.
The past 24 hours, I'm kind of on cloud nine, because, there's been a lot of people, the back and forth. Should we have fired Gase? Should we have not have fired Gase? You can go back and forth and have that debate. To me, I've been watching football many, many years, and I'm getting up there in age now. I'm in my 40s, and I can sort of tell when a guy has it and when a guy does not have it. And to me, it's clear as day, Adam Gase does not have it. So when I heard the news last night, Adam Gase is going to be the next head coach of the Jets, I was on my couch watching Anderson Cooper, and I jumped off there and ran to my computer and started to read all the articles. And I'm like, this is the greatest time, because he will sink the Jets so badly, it's not even funny.
That's the hope. And you just don't know, because now he gets a chance to work with a team with a quarterback that has immense potential. And yes, we'll see what he can do with them, because one touchdown versus 6 interceptions last year for him against the Dolphins isn't screaming elite. But he is a rookie, the rookie is 3 years, and then you have an idea of what you have with somebody. So we'll see. Adam Gase should get at least a year or two unless he completely bombs in his first year with the Jets. Then they fire McGannigan, the GM, and if they fire him, then Adam Gase is going to be likely out too.
And let me just say something. That is very possible because the Jet fan right now is pissed off. If you've listened to any New York City Sports Talk Radio today, the Jets fan, by about 80 to 20% margin, hates this hire. That's number one. Number two, you have a GM who, had a Super Bowl winning coach go public and say, I want this job. And he turned him down and pretty much listened to a phone call from Peyton Manning and said, okay, Peyton, I'll hire your friend, because he probably was wooed by Peyton Manning. And he just, oh, my God, Peyton Manning's going to pick up the phone and call me. Oh, my God. So he listened to Peyton Manning and hired Peyton Manning's little buddy. And if this goes badly, this is going to end badly for a lot of people in New York. They got a ton of money to spend right now in free agency. They have a pick in the top of the draft at number 3, which they can use and take a star, or they can trade down and just add more picks in a draft that's very, very deep. They're in a prime spot to rebuild the Jets and make them a very good franchise. If they screw it up, or if they go, 5-11, they go 6-10, if they go 4-12, heads are going to roll. People don't, it's year one for him with the Jets. It's year four for him as a head coach. They didn't hire a inexperienced head coach. They hired a head coach with experience, and expectations are there with the young quarterback who we could talk about him a little. I mean, he showed me a little last year at times, but overall, I wasn't overly impressed by him. He wasn't Mayfield in my eyes and stuff like that. He was okay. I was actually more impressed with Josh Allen than I was with Sam Darnold. But there's some potential there, clearly. And if he doesn't win next year, it might be a short stay in New York for Adam Gase.
It would be fantastic if that happens. But let me go quickly through this and just let Jets fans know a little bit more about what they're going to get. So we're going to go through the 2018 season from an offensive perspective, since Adam Gase is going to continue to call plays with the Jets is what it looks like. Let's first start off points per game. The Miami Dolphins, 19.9 points per game. Where does that rank in the NFL? That ranks 26th. So they scored 26 points per game. Scrimmage plays. I know this is one that you're going to love.
Well, it's got to be
Miami Dolphins, dead last.
Dead last. Had to be.
It's 78 plays. That is 24 plays less than statistically the worst offense of the season, which was the Arizona Cardinals, who scored 14.1 points per game, only 225 offensive points for the season. They ran 24 more plays than the Miami Dolphins this year.
That's embarrassing. That's embarrassing. That's why when I've been hearing stuff and reading stuff, some of the papers up in New York City are trying to put a spin on this. And I understand. They're trying to put a spin on it so they can get access to him, because they're hoping the head coach reads these articles. And if they read the articles, they go, hey, this guy was nice to me, I'll talk to him. That's why they're trying to put a spin on this. But like offensive genius, quarterback whisperer, offensive guru, like he hasn't earned these titles in his life. Maybe 3 years ago, if you wanted to throw on those titles, you could, because he was an unknown and, people can buy into that. But after, he has a resume now as a head coach, and those titles, I'm sorry, don't fly. They don't fly. And I don't know how he gets it, but, when Peyton Manning's picking up the phone for you and selling an owner who doesn't know any better, and he's not even the real owner of their Jets, he's the owner's son who's in charge because the real owner's got a job with the Trump administration. So you're just impressing a kid, essentially, who doesn't know better. That's how you get jobs like this. And that's what happened in New York.
Let's just continue, because it gets better.
It does.
It gets better. First downs per game. The league leading Rams, 25.1 first downs per game. The Miami Dolphins, 15.8. That's 31st, only 0.9 ahead of the Arizona Cardinals, folks. Third down percentage. This is another one. And, this also ties into the quarterback that we did have, Ryan Tannehill. The Miami Dolphins, 31st in third down percentage. And if you really want to know the number, it was 30%. third down conversions. 30.
Not good. It's not good. I mean, look, all the numbers are bad. They're all bad. And, you know, you hear some people make excuses for him. Well, he had nothing to work with. The man had control of the roster. He had control of the 53-man roster. He won't have that with the Jets, but in Miami he did. So the excuse of, well, he didn't have a quarterback to work with. Well, you know, he didn't really try hard to improve the situation any. You know, Jay Cutler, I get that because everyone thought Tannehill would be back and healthy, and they were, you know, he got hurt in August. He was in a pinch. So even if you give him a pass for Cutler, because it's like one of those things, what else were they, who else was out there to sign? That's fair. But this past year, he doesn't get a pass for that because, you know, he had a draft in an offseason to, you know, and let's be honest, he had a lot of control with the Dolphins. Maybe he wasn't running the draft, but if he wanted a quarterback in round one, two, or three, you know, to say, we need a guy here. Come on, guys. Find me a quarterback. They would have found him a quarterback. He didn't push it in the draft. He didn't push it in free agency. They went into the season. Well, not they went into training camp with guys like Bryce Petty, Brock Osweiler. It's like, are you serious? And we were on this podcast every day last summer, pounding the table. What are they thinking? Tannehill's coming back from a major knee injury. What are they thinking? And, of course, Tannehill gets hurt, and they're screwed. So this excuse, well, the offensive numbers are bad. Not his fault. Nothing's not his fault because he didn't have a quarterback. Well, he's the reason they didn't have a quarterback. He didn't prepare. So this offensive mastermind crap, I'm so sick of hearing about it. And the people of New York are going to be far less patient than the people in South Florida because the people in New York have been, you know, there's long-suffering fans of the Miami Dolphins. Jets fans are like that on steroids. They are long-suffering, and they are just, you know, really mad, and they've been mad forever, and they're not going to put up with this crap. And, you know, as soon as he has week one next year against whoever he's playing, and they put up, you know, 13 points, they're going to be ready to throw him off the George Washington Bridge out there. It's just not going to be pretty for him.
Maybe not. We'll see. Part of me believes that it's still going to be the same old Gase, but you learn from your mistakes sometimes, and he could end up being exactly what the Jets have been looking for and what the Dolphins believe he could have been when they hired him in 2016. But, you know, at this stage of it, the Jets need to understand what they're going to be getting in a head coach. Adam Gase always requests two things: be on time and work hard. That's pretty much everything that he says to his team week in and week out, every single day. Show up on time, work hard. When it comes down to it, they'll ask, well, Adam, how come the team is struggling in sacks? Well, it's not about sacks.
Yeah, they can't fly.
Adam, you seem to be struggling, you know, your team seems to be struggling. And, you know, you guys aren't winning many games. What would you say to that would be the cause? You know, it's not about wins and losses. It's just about getting better every week.
Yeah, that ain't going to fly either.
That's not going to fly in New York.
And here's the thing, too. Here's the thing. When he's in South Florida, for people who don't maybe know or understand this side of the business, when he's talking to the press, you got your three newspapers. You got your local CBS, ABC, NBC affiliate, maybe your Fox affiliate down there, sports guys. You got a couple radio stations there. You know, it's like there's not a ton of people when he's talking to the press down there. There's not a ton. You got your guy from ESPN. You know, there's a few. In New York, you can take that size of the room in Miami and triple it, okay? So he's not going to get peppered with questions from, you know, eight or nine guys. He's going to get peppered with questions from, like, 36 guys. And if he answers the first guy's question, you know, with this, you know, lame crap that he always said, you know, he's going to get asked the same question eight more times. And then they're going to move on to a whole nother topic. So it's a whole different world he's stepping into that clearly he couldn't handle Miami. I have no idea how he will handle it in New York. And you did mention something that, you know, maybe he can learn from his mistakes and grow and stuff. Here's the thing. If he would have went and became a coordinator or a quarterback coach for a year or two and then became a head coach again, I'm all on board with that. I think he probably would have learned something. Take a step back. You know, take a step back to a less high-profile role, and then maybe he can do some introspection, learn from your mistakes. When you go from one head coaching job straight to the next, I don't know if you learn from your mistakes because the last – three guys. I was trying to think of this list, and I could come up with, I think, the last three to go from one head coaching job straight to the next with no time off in between. So they end 1 year with one team, and now they're the head coach of a new team to start the next year. The last three were Chip Kelly, Rex Ryan, and Eric Mangini. And all three of those guys in their second stop, you know, failed in miserable fashion. Because I think you to go from one job straight to the next is very tough to do. I think you do need a break in between. I don't know. I mean, I just think he's set up to fail there. I really do. First off, the fan base, don't want him at all. You have an interim owner, and you have a GM who's on the hot seat, and they have a young quarterback where if this does not work, they're going to run him out of town to try and save and try to salvage him and get someone else in there. So year one for head coach Adam Gase of the Jets, he better win. And it's all about winning and nothing else. So he can go in there and say it's only about results with you. He just has to win games. Because if he doesn't win, they are going to run. They don't care about money up there. They will run him out of town so fast, it is not even funny.
It could be very funny to see that.
Well, yeah, for us, but it's hilarious.
Listen, yeah, it would be. But listen, Armando Salguero made a great point today in the article that he put on the Miami Herald. I'm sorry. He said specifically that Adam Gase, when they played the Denver Broncos in 2017, went up 33-9 right, midway through kick. The fourth quarter, and then he called for an onside kick.
Yeah.
And he said it wasn't about John Elway. It was about something else. It was 100% about John Elway. Well, now the shoe's on the other foot. When they play the Miami Dolphins, Adam Gase is going to put his best foot forward and make sure that he punishes Stephen Ross. And he's going to make sure he looks up at Stephen Ross in the booth to make sure he sees what's going on and his team beating the crap out of the Dolphins. Now, obviously, we don't know how either roster is going to be looking
exactly
come game one, but that's something to really look into.
And that works both ways, too, because if all the reports are true, and we don't know who will be on Miami's roster next year, but if they still have guys like Rashad Jones, they still have guys like Drake, if they still have guys like Wake, who, you know, probably didn't end on the best of terms with Gase, you know, Miami in 2019 might not be, they might be terrible. We don't know what they're going to do, but for those games, if those guys are still here, they are going to be playing like it's a Super Bowl because they didn't like the man, period. And from all the reports we read, there's a segment of this team that did not get along with him and didn't like him. So that works both ways. So Adam Gase, you know, they're going to be coming towards him too because they're going to want to sort of stick it to him because we saw what happened once he was let go by Miami with Landry and all those guys on social media putting up their tweets and laughing and all stuff. So, you know, if you don't think there's guys on the Miami Dolphins roster right now who don't share the same feelings, I mean, it works both ways. So those games are going to be so exciting. The MetLife takeover next year in New York City is a must-see event. If you look, I have never been to one. Tom, we've talked about possibly heading to one. Depending on when that falls, we might have to go. That event next year in New York might be must-see. I don't care what the Dolphins' record is. It could be the worst team in the league. That game is going to have so much juice. It's going to have so much excitement. It is just going to be an event you're not going to want to miss.
I agree. I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping that we can get there this year, depending on scheduling and things like that. To enjoy MetLife Takeover and to have a real strong contingent. I think, you know, when you look at the amount of people that go to MetLife Takeover every year, the fact now that Adam Gase is there, we might see even a bigger contingency of Dolphins fans trying to get tickets for this game to try to make their lives a living hell in their own stadium. It's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be very interesting to watch. And I don't normally watch SNY for post game press conferences regarding the New York Jets, but I'll be damned if I miss one this year.
Set my DVR for everyone. I cannot wait. Look, and if he ends up, and if I'm totally wrong on this, always possible. If I'm totally wrong and he ends up being the next, you know, Lombardi, God bless him. God bless him. And hats off, Miami made a mistake. I saw nothing in his time in Miami. Year one, you know, yeah, they won a lot, but a lot of those games, they caught every bounce, every break. They had some fluky things happen, but they won. It counts.
It's just every year after that, it just like the bloom came off the rose little by little. And by this year, you know, it was like watching some, I mean, it was like just tough to watch. So I don't see it. I just don't see it. And you look at the Jets roster that now they got $100 million to spend, you know, and I would listen, like I said, all day to sports talk radio in New York. And they're saying, we got $100 million with Adam Gase, this offensive coach, go sign Le'Veon Bell. You think Adam Gase is going to get along with Le'Veon Bell? Come on. I mean, Miami fans know that. Jets fans have no clue yet. Le'Veon Bell, first off, if the Jets sign him and they force him to coach Le'Veon Bell, that's a disaster waiting to happen. And the best player on the Jets' defense is Jamal Adams, who is absolutely fantastic, a great player. The one thing about him, Adams, is he runs his mouth. Like, he makes Landry look like a monk, okay? I mean, really, he just runs his mouth. Adam Gase is going to clash with Jamal Adams probably day one. So the Jets fans who might not know Gase like Miami fans do, you know, we can see some of this stuff sort of coming a mile away. Adams is a great player. He does put in work. Maybe him and Gase can find a common ground for a little bit. I see that as a train wreck ready to happen. And, you know, guys like they got all this money, the Jets, and they have a GM on the hot seat who has to spend this money because he has to win games or he ain't going to be around. You know, he has all the power, not Adam Gase. If he wants to sign someone like Bell, Adam Gase, he can't stop him. He can say, I don't want him. And the guys can be like, I don't care what you want. I got to win games. He could go sign him. So this is going to be interesting to see who they now can force upon him to coach. And if he doesn't like him too damn bad, you can't run him off like you ran off guys in Miami.
You're absolutely correct. And if I'm Le'Veon Bell, I don't care what the Jets are offering you. Don't go there because
He's all about the money. He don't care.
Adam Gase will misuse you completely. And I think he's going to go to the Colts, personally. If I have to put money on it right now, I think he's going to be a Colt.
Because
the Colts have the most money to spend in free agency this offseason. And they're in the second round of the playoffs with a less talented roster. So kudos to Frank Reich and obviously Andrew Luck. And Josh McDaniels is probably kicking himself for not taking that job.
Yeah. I think between Bell and Brown, I think one of those guys will end up on the Colts. I think one will end up on the Jets. Which one's which, I have no idea. But those guys will be on the market. And I think one, Pittsburgh's nuts for letting this happen. But after that, those teams have the most money to spend. And they really, you know, if you're the Colts, they might not. Because look, they're winning right now. And they have guys like Mack at running back. He's playing well. Hilton's great at wide receiver. They might say to someone like Bell, we don't need you. Brown, they would probably take in a heartbeat. But I do think one will end up on the Jets, one will end up on the Colts, unless San Francisco, they get into the mix because they have a bunch of money too, I believe. But, it could happen. And, you know, they're going to spend a lot of money, the Jets, and we'll see how it works with Gase, how he gets along with some of these guys he might not want, but he will have to coach.
I'm waiting for the drama. It's going to happen. Oh, the drama will be, and it's going to be great because if the drama really gets out of the locker room, Adam Gase is going to get crucified for having issues with players and punishing them if they're not doing one thing right or whatever it was. I mean, freaking Kenyon Drake had 120 carries this year.
He had
more carries in the last seven games last year than he did all of this season.
And here's something else, too. This can only get even better. If he decides to hire Greg Williams as his defensive coordinator, you are going to have the two most miserable, pissed off, surly, prickly, you add your adjective in there, guys, on the same team. Just leading the same team. I mean, it'll either be A, they will love each other, and it'll be like the biggest man crush ever, or B, by like week three at camp, they're going to be at each other's throats and they'll hate each other's guts because it's like the all middle finger up you, you know, screw you up yours team. Because those two guys, if he does hire him, I mean, that's just going to be pure entertainment.
I'm hoping that the Jets are Hard Knocks. I really do.
It'd be great.
It would be great. And if they have a joint practice with the Browns, it'll make it even better.
Oh my God, it'll be a brawl.
Oh, Maybe between Landry and Gase. That would be funny.
Oh, God.
So let's get into real quick the Miami Dolphins coaching search as we continue to be in a holding pattern. It looks like from all reports that the Cincinnati Bengals are going to get Zach Taylor as their next head coach. So that will leave the Miami Dolphins as the only team without a head coach. And the writing's on the wall. The reason the Dolphins don't have a coach currently is because both the guys that they want are still in the playoffs.
Yep.
So what it really boils down to at this point, there's a lot of rumors and a lot of speculation. We have reports saying that the Dolphins are leaning towards Flores, and then we have multiple different people from Alex Marvez and Gil Brandt and some other folks in league circles saying that the Dolphins have decided that Chris Richard is going to be the next head coach of the Miami Dolphins. No one really knows except for the Miami Dolphins and the person that they've probably already selected to be their head coach. It's under wraps because as of right now, you can't hire a coach that's currently coaching for another team.
And just one quick thing. I know some fans are like, if they don't hire Chris Richard, you know, I'm all done with the team. It's like, first off, both of these guys are virtual unknowns. Like, we don't know. I mean, we know very little about each one of them. And it's hard for me. Yeah, if I had to pick one, I'd probably lean towards Richard. But I can't get upset if they hire Flores from the Patriots. Because let's be honest, we know very little about each one of these guys. And each one of these guys has a lot of positive things about them from what we read. But they're still so virtually unknown. It's like, how can a fan of the Miami Dolphins be upset if they hire one over the other? We don't know either one of these guys, and there's so little on them. It's like almost like a shot in the dark. So I will trust Chris Greer with this hire. If I had my preference, I'd probably go with Richard because he does seem very energetic, and he seems very in your face, and I think that's what this team needs. I think that's what this team, whatever this team looks like next year, will respond to, because they're not going to get rid of everybody, I don't think, at least. And if they keep around some of these younger guys and some of the core players, coming from someone like Matt Burkin and tight coach Adam Gase, I think they need a guy who's going to be like, you know what, nobody's going to push us around and be a little bit more energetic and more in your face. I think they'll respond to that. But if they went the other way and they hired Flores, I mean, can he be that upset? We don't know anything about either one of these guys.
We don't know. We really don't. But what I will say is, you know, based on everything that I've seen at this point, in regards of videos and articles, I'm leaning towards Richard as well. I think he would be the best choice right now for a team that's going to be rebuilding. The problem is we are an impatient fan base as well. We are waiting to get back to the promised land. We are anxiously hoping that that's going to be soon. The problem is that we know that the Miami Dolphins are going to be in a full-blown rebuild for could be quite a few years. So the way I look at it is whoever they hire, they need to go through their 4 years because this is a project. This is something that has to happen. And everybody needs to be patient. And, you know, I'm going to listen back on this show in 2 years, and if I'm calling for Richard's head or Flores' head or whoever it is that's head coach of the Miami Dolphins, if I'm calling for their head in 2 years, someone needs to slap me in the face. This has to be a long rebuild, a drawn-out rebuild, as bad and as painful as it's going to be for the fan base. This needs to happen. This is needed to happen for 20 years. Because the Miami Dolphins have consistently always been mediocre because they always believe they're on the doorstep to getting back to where they need to get to, which is consistently making the playoffs and winning division titles. That's not happening.
Yeah. And just real quick, I'm not even sure it'll be that long of a rebuild. I think in this league, we've seen teams turn it around rather quickly. We saw a team like the Bears, who just a couple years ago, you know, were very, very bad. And it only took maybe 2 off seasons, and they're right back in. Now they're right in there. They're a very good team. They got their young quarterback, and he's sort of moving along in the process. It doesn't take that long. These people who think you got to blow it up and start over, it's going to take 3, 4, 5 years. It doesn't take that long. You run off all the bad contracts you got. You got to eat some money that's dead. And then you're pretty much starting from scratch, and you got to hit on your draft picks, and you got to find a quarterback, period. So these people say, you know, lose until the draft of 20, until the 2020 draft or the 2021 draft. You sound like an idiot. No, no, you don't have to do that. First off, if there's a guy in this draft that you like a quarterback, you go get him. I'm not going to wait. You go get him now if you like one. I don't know if they like one, but if they go through the process and say, I think that's a guy, you go get him this year. You ain't going to wait. You can't wait for the next thing because you'll be waiting forever. So it's like, it's not going to take that long. Yes, next year it might be rough. But after that, you know, Miami's got pieces if they hold on to them. Xavien Howard, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Laremy Tunsil. They got some pieces to build on. They're not going to be awful. They might have a rough 2019 where they win 3, 4, 5 games. Okay. But come 2020, you know, let's go. I mean, it's not going to – it won't be as long of a rebuild as some think. They got money to spend on the camp. They buy the right guys. Don't buy old guys. Buy the right guys. Draft well. You'll be okay in this league. It doesn't take that long.
2020 is the year for the Miami Dolphins.
It is.
We already know this. And the biggest reason why is before anything is really done with, say, you know, Xavien Howard, Laremy Tunsil, and things like that, the Dolphins have $80 million in cap space for a salary cap that's going to be unknown in 2020 as of right now. But they don't, you wipe Ryan Tannehill off the books, they have $100 million in salary cap to use in 2020. So you're putting yourself in a position where you're going to be like the Browns. You're going to be like the Jets. You're going to be like the Bills. You're going to have money to spend, and you're going to have a high draft pick in that 2020 draft, depending on how things go in 19. There's no reason to quote unquote blow it up because you
just
have
be smart.
Good. You be smart with your money.
Smart.
You
That's can, all is.
I wrote an article over a month ago, a couple weeks ago, stating the Dolphins can have up to $74 million in salary cap. You be smart with the money. If you still have $30 million of salary cap to potentially roll over into 2020, now you're talking you have $110 million. Maybe you hit on a quarterback in this draft, or you really got some solid defensive players, offensive linemen, guys that can play. And now, at that point, when you get the money, you have a high draft pick, you nab a quarterback if you don't get one in the 2019 draft. Now we're talking 2020 is the start of the official, quote-unquote, rebuild of the Miami Dolphins. We're going to see what the fingerprints, whatever this coach is, whoever it is, their fingerprints are going to be on this team. And the moves that the team make will determine what is going to happen in the future. But tanking till 2021 that I read this week, Trevor Lawrence, that's so dumb. So dumb. Because guess what? Trevor Lawrence could get hurt severely.
Yeah. Or you might tank, but there might be a team who's just naturally worse. And if they need a quarterback, then you lost all these games for nothing. None of it makes any sense. You can't just say for sure you'll be picking number one that year because we're going to tank. First off, who's going to want to play for you if you're just trying to openly tank? I mean, you're not going to get guys to play, and you can't get guys to tank because they're playing for their own paychecks. They want to get paid. They're not there to help you get a kid who's going to make a whole lot of money for a bunch of years. They want to get paid. They're not going to go out there and lose on purpose. You can't tank in the NFL. I'm sure you could by just signing guys who can't play, but no team's going to do that. I mean, you got to be an idiot. And plus, the 2020 draft, which you keep hearing about, all these quarterbacks, if you're the Miami Dolphins and you have a – look, they're going to go through this process, Senior Bowl, the Combine, private workouts. If they fall in love with either Haskins or Murray or whoever, I don't know, Locke, if they fall and they go, you know what, that's the guy. If then you have a high pick in 2020, that pick is worth gold because there's going to be a team who probably will want to move up and get a quarterback. If you already have one prior to that draft, then you can get them for a king's ransom and trade down maybe. That's what you want. So this whole notion of we got to wait to the 20, you know, that certain draft out there in 2020, you know, who knows about Tua? Everybody thinks he's going to be the superstar. Nobody knows for sure. He didn't look great against Clemson, I'll tell you that, and that's the best team he played all year. And he didn't look great against Georgia either. So I don't care what he does against Ole Miss. I don't care what he does against Arkansas. You know, those games, who cares? Because they have such a talent gap and such an edge in talent that they're going to look great. He's going to look great anyways. What he did against teams who had equal talent to him wasn't that great. And in the NFL, he's going to be playing against teams with equal talent. So I'm not going to tank for Tua. I think it's so stupid. Yes, the kid from Clemson's a real deal, but Jesus Christ, I'll be freaking retired by the time they have to draft him. It's like so far away. And then you got the kid there from Georgia. He's a nice player, but I'm not going to tank for him. You got the kid from Oregon. You know, he's a nice player, not somebody that is worthy of tanking for. So it's like you take the quarterback that you fall in love with when you can. And maybe it's this year, because at 13, if they can slide up, if they like somebody, who knows if they will, that's what you do.
It's a situation that the Dolphins just haven't done.
Yeah.
You know, so forward thinking is, you know, hey, if we really like someone in this draft and it's getting to the point where we're going to be on the clock potentially and someone else might leapfrog us, you just make a trade. You move up and get your guy. But what I will say, if you really want to make this all about 2020, I'm listening to phone calls for the 13th pick in the draft.
Oh, absolutely.
When the clock strikes.
Absolutely.
Because if you can move back and you can pick up a first-round pick in 2020, maybe an extra pick in 2019, now you're talking two first-round picks, potentially one that's going to be in the top five, easily going to be in the top 10 at this point. But if you're in the top five going into that draft, you don't have to pay that much to move up if you want to get your guy. Or you sit still because there's going to be six quarterbacks in
exactly.
The six picks.
You just take one. Exactly.
You just take one.
And plus, they're in a spot this year to Miami in the draft of 13. If they don't love a quarterback, let's say they look at these guys and they go, you know what? We like him a little, but we're not going to trade up to get him, and he'll probably be gone. We don't like any of these other guys at pick 13. You know what? We have so many holes. This is truly a year where they have so many needs, offensive line, pass rusher, tackle. You know, trade down anyways, because this draft is deep in pass rushers, and we have a need there. It's got some quality depth at cornerback. We could clearly use one there opposite Howard. So this is a draft where if the quarterback, if you're not going to make a move for one in round one, trade down anyways. I don't even care if we get a pick in 2020. If we just pick up picks in the second round and in the third and fourth round just to slide down, do it. Because we need to accumulate as many good players as possible. With the caveat, though, if the quarterback you fall in love with, you trade everything to move up and get him. Because that is just too important to pass up. So it'll be interesting to see. Look, it's a long process. We're only on January 11th. You know, we still got the Senior Bowl next week. We got the Combine. They're going to do their homework on all these guys. They're going to talk to Murray. They're going to do everything. Is he too short? Is he too small? They're going to look at Haskins. They're going to look at Locke. And who knows? They might not like any of them. But if they do fall in love with one, then, you know, pull the trigger. Don't wait.
Absolutely don't wait. And I agree with you 100%. There are still a lot of holes on this team. And if you aren't in love with a quarterback in
round down.
One, there's still options in round two. You can go get a Will Greer.
Yep.
You can go find a Daniel Jones. There is opportunity out there that you could still get a guy in the second round of the draft if you don't love one in round one. But at pick 13, if you don't trade back, there is elite defensive players in this draft, especially the three coming out of Clemson. And if one falls in your lap, you take one.
Yep.
Period. End of story. Those guys decimated Alabama.
Even if it's Lawrence with his little drug issue, whatever, look, he's a top 10 pick. If he falls to 13, you know, it worked out with Laremy Tunsil. I'm sure they'll do their homework on someone like Lawrence. But if he's clean and if it's just like weed or something, I don't know what it is with him. But if it take him, I mean, look, they just got to make smart decisions. That's all. Football is not that complicated. I say this all season. It's not that complicated. Don't make it overcomplicated. You make smart decisions. And you just make good picks. And if just because they do take a quarterback, say they trade down and they end up taking a quarterback in round two. Let's say they take Will Greer in round two. That doesn't mean you can't take a quarterback in round one next
exactly.
year. We need quarterbacks. Exactly. We need more than one. These guys get hurt. You got to have insurance. That's what you need. You build up the quarterback. It's the most valuable position by a mile. And if you hit on them both, if you hit the jackpot, take Will Greer. And by, say, year three for him, you know, he really blossoms into something. But we get a quarterback in the top five. Let's say the kid from Georgia in 2020, and he's a star off the bat. You know, Will Greer, is like taking the, then you can trade him somewhere and get more picks. That's how successful teams do this. And it's just, it's common sense, but common sense isn't common to everybody because the Miami Dolphins are playing checkers while most of the league is playing chess. And it's time we start playing chess. And I think with Chris Greer, we will. I have very much confidence. I don't care. I don't care if this head coaching search, since we're pretty much now the last team with this rumor out of Cincinnati. I don't care how long it goes. Because, A, nobody's going to take someone from under our nose. We have the only head coaching spot left. And, B, look at last year with the Colts. They were the last team to get a head coach. It didn't hurt them any. And there's many. And each one of these guys, whether it's Rashard, Flores, they know their staff. They know their staff. They might not get every guy they want. They've already reached out to people. They're like, if I get this job, you coming with me? Oh, yeah, I'll come. They know who they're going to hire. They've already put out the feelers. Just because they can't talk to Miami now or they can't accept a formal job offer now, each one of them's ready to go day one. Everyone talks to everybody. They all have agents. And if they're not talking to those people, they're agents are. So I don't care how long this goes. Yes, I would like to be over quickly, but honestly, I'm in no rush. We're the only job left. God bless. It's not a big deal, and everyone needs to chill out because they're going to get a head coach here, and it's going to be one of these guys, and we'll see.
I'm just hoping that they do get this narrowed down because you got to start prepping for the combine. You got to start prepping for what you're going to do with the roster. You know, the head coach, whether they have decision-making or not, and in this case, they're not. They're still going to sit down with Chris Greer and go over the roster. Yeah, I'd like to have this guy. No, I don't want this guy. So then you figure out where your salary cap's going to be prior to going into free agency in the second week of March. I'd just like to get this done. I'd like to see what the staff is going to look like, and then we can sit back and say, all right, now this is what we're going to be doing with the roster. This is what the salary cap's going to look like. Yeah. And then, you know, at that point, too, do we have a trade partner for Ryan Tannehill? Probably not. But can you find a team that's going to pony up a fifth or sixth round draft pick potentially for him? If anybody comes calling, even with a seventh round pick in 2020, yes. Ryan Tannehill, yes. you take the draft pick. You have to do it.
And I think there's a lot of guys on this roster that they will try to trade. Now, they might not be successful in trading them, but there are a couple guys to keep our eyes on. One of them is, I think, Rashad Jones. Because we all love Jones, but he's been around a bit. And by the time we are probably good again, he might be, you know, past his prime. So a team might part with something of value for someone like Rashad Jones. If they do, I mean, you hate to see him go, but, you know, you almost have to do it. Or if they don't trade Jones, then you could see, see them try to move maybe a McDonald, who makes less money, and teams would probably be all over him as well. They obviously wouldn't get as high as a pick. But, you know, I could see that happening. Guys like Andre Branch, they'll probably try and trade before they cut. Don't know if anybody wants to trade for Branch. But again, you might get a 6 or 7 for him. Who knows? They're going to try and trade guys before they release them. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of bases gone. We've said the names for weeks. We're not going to say them again. A lot of bases gone. But, you know, again, it comes down to smart decisions. And they're going to be fine. And I'm in no rush for the only hire this next head coach, if it's either Flores or Rashard, is who's the offensive coordinator. Because they both come from the same side of the ball. Who will be their offensive coordinator? That's going to be the most interesting thing to watch. Rizzi, look, he'll probably land with the Jets. I'm just being honest. I'm not trying to get you upset, fans. He's probably going to end up with the Jets. Because when you interview for a head coaching job with the team and you don't get the job, I can't see you staying around and working with the guy who got the job over you. We saw it with the Browns. They would have kept Williams probably, but it's just uncomfortable. It's awkward. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. So if Miami does not hire Rizzi, odds are he's probably heading to the Jets. But once again, don't flip out, people. He's a special teams coordinator, for Christ's sakes. I'm not going to get worked up over a special teams coordinator leaving. Yes, we love him. Yes, he's a great coach. But should he leave, which I would probably bet the farm he does, you know, I'm not going to cry over it either. It's just a special teams coach. Relax.
And the 21st ranked special teams as well. I like Darren Rizzi. I think he's a good coach.
I hope he stays. But I don't think he will because it's just awkward.
it will be very awkward, especially with the new guy in charge. And, you know, I think they can't go Rizzi, and I won't talk about this very much. They can't go Rizzi because if you really want to change the entire organization, you want to start over, you have to have fresh voices everywhere in the organization. And that's why there is no Tannenbaum. That's why there won't be a Tannehill. That's why there may not be a Jones. And that's probably why there won't be a Rizzi. There's going to be a fresh start in Miami. The Dolphins have a lot of good pieces on defense they can build around. That's why it's kind of a good spot for a defensive coach to go. I do agree that, you know, if you do find a good offensive coordinator and they do a great job with whoever they bring in, they're immediately becoming a top candidate for a head coaching job. You may lose them, then you start over again.
Well, I actually saw a tweet, and we can sort of wrap this up after this. I saw a tweet from last year from Adam Schefter. I just saw it as we were recording this, where Brian Flores, I guess, interviewed for the Arizona Cardinals job last year. He didn't get it. But the report was, if he was hired by Arizona, he told them he was going to make Jim Caldwell his offensive coordinator. He's still on the market there, Caldwell. He's meeting with some teams, though. So if Flores, say the Patriots get knocked out this week and say Greer hires Flores, would I be shocked to see Jim Caldwell as Miami's offensive coordinator? No. And that'd be actually a very good hire because it would give a young head coach a coordinator who has experience as a head coach with the Colts and the Lions, and he's underrated, Caldwell. Yes, he's very quiet. He's not very animated, but he's a smart guy, smart offensive guy, smart coach. You know, he's not going to, you know, he's quiet. He's not going to be one of those guys who's going to be out there, you know, flailing his arms, acting like a fool on the sidelines. But to have a veteran, someone who was a head coach for many years in this league, next to a young head coach is the best move you can make. Again, if that were to happen, I'd be perfectly fine with that. So just the name out there to keep in mind should Flores get hired, because, you know, he had a staff ready last year if he got a job. He didn't get a job. I'm sure he's got people in mind should he get this job if it's him.
Time will tell, and hopefully time runs out after Sunday at the latest, because if the Patriots lose and the Cowboys lose, we'll have a head coach probably early
by Wednesday,
early next week.
By Wednesday at the latest.
So now we're just in the waiting pattern. We are most likely the last team here, with the Bengals probably getting Zach Taylor as their next head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. That'll do it for us. I appreciate everyone listening. Everyone have a great Friday. Be sure to go to DolphinsTalk.com every single day for all your Miami Dolphins news as well as opinions. We got a great staff that does great things for us, and we appreciate everyone for listening. Mike, what do you have before we sign off?
Just make sure you follow me on Twitter at Dolphins Talk, and we will have a show up Sunday night after the weekend's games, and we'll see where things stand with New England and the Cowboys and Flores and Richard, and we'll just reevaluate things from there and see if those guys are now free to sign. And I'm sure, you know, the Cowboys play Saturday. If they were to lose Saturday, I'm sure Sunday morning we'll start hearing rumors. We'll hear rumors. We might even have an offer. Who knows? We'll hear rumors. There might be an offer, and all that stuff will happen. And then you got the Patriots play early Sunday. Once that game ends, I'm sure if they're knocked out, there'll be even more stuff out there floating. So we'll do a show Sunday night, so be sure to check out the show and the website on Sunday night. Myself and Tom will be back.
Absolutely. Everyone have a great Friday and enjoy your weekend. We'll be back on Sunday night, as Mike said. We are out. Fins up. Let's go.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.